We're going to have a discussion on the truths of assurance. But before that, let me tell you a story that happened to me very, very recently, and I'm very happy about it. I'm going to share it with everyone because it's such a good thing that the Lord did to my life. About last month, I announced in the community, my Catholic community, it's a small community, I told them, the Lord wants me to start a ministry for abandoned street kids and a ministry for abandoned old people. I felt that the Lord really wants me to do this. So Joe Dean and I, he's another brother from community, both of us will be living in Montalban. There's a farm there, and we'll be taking care of street kids. I felt that God wants me to discover the face of Jesus in the faces of the poor people. And I've never lived in a farm before. I don't know how to take care of pigs or cows or till the soil. Jolene will do that. I'll just play with the kids and teach them the Bible, you know. But, you know, I was telling the community, we'll be living in Nipa huts and we'll be living a poor life with the kids, but what the heck, you know, Jesus is there. And so I was pretty excited about that. I was telling people about that. But you know, after I announced it, I went home and I said to myself, Lord, ang yabang ko, no? Kala mo may pera ako. Kala mo mayaman ako na pwede kong magpagawa ng mga bahay. You know, building a Nipa hut is no joke. You know, we need to build about 5 of them, big ones. And then we have to build a big Nipa hut for our chapel, for our prayer room in the farm. The community bought land there, and because of buying that land, our community doesn't have money anymore to do anything else. You know, we're looking at the land and we bought it. Hallelujah! You know, what are we going to do with it? I don't know. You know, we don't have any more money. You know? And so I sort of like said, Lord, parang ang yabang ko. I announced it to everyone. In fact, naglagay pa ako ng date. Sinabi ko sa community, within 2 to 3 months, we'll be moving to Montalban. Sa pag-uwi ko, sinabi ko, siguro, titira kami sa ilalim ng banana tree. You know? Walang pera eh. Talagang walang pera. Yung pala, a member of our community was listening. And this brother in the community just brought this prayer before the Lord. And he said, Lord, is this another crazy idea from Bo? If this is another bird-brained idea from Bo, wag na lang. Pero Lord, kung galing sa'yo, magbibigay ako ng pera. I feel a stirring in my heart to give money to this project. And then, you know, this guy was really, I think, someone who has faith in the Lord. Kasi sinabi niya, Lord, I want a sign. Give me a sign, Lord. On this day, I should meet either Bo or Jodine. Hindi tomorrow, hindi next week, hindi next month. Ngayon, itong araw na to, kailangan magkita kami. Kailangan pumunta siya dito sa opisina ko. Could you imagine? Can you imagine that kind of sign? It's a little bit difficult, di ba? That prayer was prayed in the morning during his prayer time. At about 11 o'clock near lunchtime, Jodine was asked by another brother from community to pray over someone. I don't know what. And then they were coming home. Nagkaroon ng traffic. At sa traffic, naisip ni Jodine, halika, daan muna tayo. Nandito yung opisina niya, no? You know, brothers and sisters, it's the first time I thank the Lord for the traffic. And so he goes to after a few days, you know, this brother from community goes to me, tells me the story, and you know, I received 100,000 pesos for that project. And this community member is not, you know, the richest person in our community. But this person is someone who loves God and was decided, you know, sinabi ni Lord, gagawin ko. Why am I telling you that story? It has nothing to do with my talk. Except one point. I wish every day was like that. I really wish every day was like that. You know, yung nagdadasal ka, humihi ka ng sign kay Lord, biglang dumadating. Yung ganun, yung the Lord moves, the Lord works, the Lord answers prayers, and it's such an exciting thing to have the Lord do that every day of your life. Brothers and sisters, what's the reality? Does the Lord always answer prayer? And does He always answer prayer the way you want Him to answer prayer? No, di ba? No. How many of you have prayed for something, pero parang ang tagal dumating yung sagot? Raise your hand. Yung mga hindi nagtaas ng kamay, swerte ni naman. You know, all of us just experience that, and we say, parang hindi lahat ng pagkakataon, you know, we've come to a time that, you know, there's sometimes we've got problems in our lives, you know, that we just had a fight with our husband, we just you know, our daughter suddenly has a boyfriend who's punk na matalim yung buhok, you know, or yung anak natin nakita natin sumali sa frat, yung talaga kinabahan na tayo, or we're not getting promoted in our job, and you know, all sorts of things, you know, problems left or right come, and then in the midst of the circumstance and in the midst of our feelings, we suddenly doubt certain truths that alam natin at the back of our minds totoo, kaya lang circumstances and feelings dictate and say iba. You know, when these problems come, hindi ba minsan we get feelings like, Lord, saan ka? Ang dami kong problema ngayon, saan ka? Hindi ka gumagalaw. O kaya naman, Lord, do you really answer prayer? Do you really answer prayer? O kaya, you know, you see your son getting into drugs, and then you say, Lord, mahal mo ba ako? You know, these questions come. At the back of your mind, alam mo yung katotohanan. Mahal ka ng Diyos talaga, at malapit talaga siya, at sumasagot talaga siya ng panalangin. Pero, in the midst of circumstances like that, your business crashes down. O kaya, ninakawan ka sa bahay, nanakaw lahat, pati jewelry mo and furniture and everything. You know, in the midst of that, you suddenly say, suddenly truth is shaken. And feelings and circumstance and truth collide. And this is what I want to share with you tonight. Where are we going to base our lives on? Are we going to base our lives on our feelings? Are we going to base our lives on our circumstance? Or are we going to base our lives on the truth? What do you think? Let me tell you a story, a true story that happened in a children's center. Imagine a room filled with little kids. Little children. Some of them are orphans, some of them are not. All of them are poor, very poor kids. All of them were playing happily, except one little girl. One little girl was sitting on the corner in a dark place of that room, and she was clutching a dirty rag doll. This little girl had been abandoned, deserted by her mother. Her father visited her only once in her entire young life. Only once. And during that time, the father gave her this doll. And after that, never returned. This little girl was holding on to the only contact that she had with her father. And she felt very, very bad about herself. And she felt she was nothing. The children somehow heard that story. And the children did not want to do anything with her. They disdained her. They didn't like to play with her. They didn't like to talk to her. They didn't like to have anything to do with this little girl. Nothing. And imagine this scene, this little girl here, holding her little doll, looking face down in the corner, and all these kids playing. And then a doctor comes to visit. Now the doctor is a very loving and very strong, very warm-hearted brother. He enters the room And immediately he senses what was happening. He sees it at first sight and he knows what he would do. He enters the room and then he shouts to the girl in a very happy way, and he makes his voice carry all through that big room where all the little kids would hear. And he said, "Hi, I have come to visit you. I have come to meet you." And so the little girl looks at this huge doctor in white overalls and warm, happy face, and all the kids stop playing and look at this big man who has entered the room. And the doctor goes and sits beside the little girl and squats on the floor with the little girl and starts talking in whispers. And then all the little children didn't know what to do. They were saying, you know, they wanted to hear, but they could not. As though they had little secrets in between. And then after a few minutes of talking, the doctor stands up. And then, again with his voice carried all through that room, he says, "Bye, I'll see you again." And the little girl waves her hand. And before the doctor leaves the room and exits the door, he turns around. And what does he see? All the little children crowding on that little girl, wanting to talk, wanting to play, wanting to, you know, have a little chit-chat. And what happened? What happened in that room? That little girl felt she was a nobody. A very, very big nobody. Her mother, own mother, deserted her. Her father visited only once. She was clutching to the last hope, the last thread of value and esteem that she could have for her own identity. She felt she was a complete zero. But then the doctor comes and changes the whole scenario. And because of his presence, and because of the intimacy and the relationship that he started on with his little girl, you could just imagine the kind of value that she began to have for herself. And all the little kids who really felt she was a nobody because of this relationship that was established, the truth begins to be very, very visible before everyone. Not only to the little girl, but to every single kid in that room. What is the truth? That little girl was special. That little girl was very special. What did she feel before that time? Bad, depressed, lonely, discouraged, isolated, left out, abandoned, deserted. What did she feel after? Special, good. What did the circumstances tell her, shout to her, scream to her ears before the doctor came in? Everything about it tell her, confirmed what she had felt. She was a nobody. After that, what did the circumstances say? Little kids crowding around her. She was special. She was very special. What was the truth? What was the truth? What was the truth before the doctor came in? She was special. Before the doctor even came in, brothers and sisters, the truth is that she's special. But the feelings did not confirm that, and the circumstances around didn't confirm that, and the doctor had to come in to speak the truth. But the truth was already there even before the doctor came in. Sisters and brothers, you and I are like that little child. You and I are like that little girl in the corner of that room. And sometimes we feel bad about ourselves, or we feel we have doubts about the truth. And every single thing that we look at, and even how the people look at us and how the people talk to us or relate to us, confirm it. What we feel. Doubts, fears, anxiety, doubts about God, doubts about who we are. Are we really a child of God? I don't know, madaming problema. Does God really love me? Is He here? What is the truth about Scripture? Is God really a powerful God? Why doesn't He answer my prayer? I'm fighting this sin and I keep on getting down. I keep on being defeated by this sin. I keep on being overcome by this sin. What is the truth? talaga bang I'm a child of God with the power of the Holy Spirit within you? Parang mahirap paniwalaan, feeling ko I'm a loser and circumstances confirm that. Different examples and situations. Sisters and brothers, we need God who is like the doctor, and He comes in and He sits down and squats with us and starts telling whispers and speaks the truth of who we are. And this is the truth. And sometimes the truth is not how we feel or what the circumstances say. And we need to hold on tenaciously to that truth in the midst of the storm around us. Do you see what I see? Before I can, we will be opening a lot of scripture verses here, okay? But even before I do that, I'll tell you one last story of. I like this story very much from World War II. It's a battle. How many of you lived during that time? You might know this story. It's about a battleship, and there was this. You know, they were cruising on one evening, and it was all dark. And then suddenly they saw this bright light right across them, right in front of them. And, you know, they knew that these two objects would crash. They were exactly in the same direction, I mean, in the same pathway. And they were, you know, like, head on. And so the battleship captain got the radio and said, we'd like to request you to move to the left, you know, radio the other party. Sumagot. Also to the radio, sorry, but we would like you to be the one to move to the left. Medyo na antik yung pride ng kapitan. Siyempre, kapitan siya ng excuse me, I'm a captain. I want you to move to the left. Sumagot, private lang po ako, pero paki naman, kayo na lang ang pumunta sa left. Ba? We are a battleship. Move to the left. Sumagot, we are a lighthouse on top an island. Move to the left. Guess who moved to the left? Truth is like that lighthouse. Truth is like that lighthouse. When God says you're a child of God, when God says, I love you, when God says, I will forgive your sins no matter how many times you do it, when God says, my love is steadfast, when God says, I will answer prayer, that's the lighthouse. It's truth. And no matter what the feelings or the circumstances around you say, no matter what the battleships of feelings or the battleship of circumstance say, you stand on the lighthouse. You stand on truth. Feelings and circumstance cry out to you, scream to you, shout to you, wail at you and say, move to the left. God does not love you. Move to the left. God will not forgive your sins anymore. Move to the left. You're a nobody. You're zilcho. Look at everything's happening to you. It's all bad. You're a nobody. You're a zero. Move to the left. A lot of us move to the left. Because you don't stand on the rock. You don't stand on the truth. You don't stand on God's word. When you stand on God's word, you say, you move to the left. I'm standing on the truth. I am God's son. God loves me. God cares for me. God will answer my prayer. God will forgive me of my sins. This is the truth. Not your feelings. Not your circumstances. Is that clear? For example, open your scripture now to Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. What does it say? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you. One of my favorite passages in this past few months. How do you avoid from sinning? How do you avoid from having, by being engulfed by fear and doubts? Thy word have I hid in my heart. We need to know Scripture. We need to know God's Word. It does not say there, Thy Word have I read, that I might not fall into sin. It says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We need to know the Word so much that it is hidden in our hearts. So much. Scripture memory is a skill. And you can memorize all the Scripture that you want, but that's not the point. The point is to hide the Word in your heart and to know it, so that when the battleships come of bad feelings and bad circumstances, you won't be intimidated. You can clutch tenaciously on the Word of God, on God's truth, and say, no, you move to the left. Because you've hid it in your heart. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, it says that God's Word is a sword of the Spirit. It is a weapon by which we fight the enemy. How is that so? Do you recall in Matthew chapter 4, the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil? Do you recall that incident? How many times was Jesus tempted? Three. Remember the first temptation, the devil says to Jesus, "Oh Lord, may mga bato, paki-transform mo, gawing mong tinapay." What did Jesus say? Before that, before he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Before he said that, what did he say? "It is written." He combated and fought temptation by saying, "It is written." On the second temptation, Satan said, brought Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, throw down yourself. What did Jesus say? "It is written. You shall not test the Lord your God." On the third temptation, Satan told Jesus, "Worship me. I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. Bow down before me." What did Jesus say? "It is written. You shall worship the Lord your God alone." "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalms 119, verse 11. Jesus knew Scripture and fought with Scripture. He used Ephesians 6:17. He used the Word of God as a sword. Do you want to avoid sin? You don't? Let's go home. We want to avoid sin. And we want to stop doubts from our minds. We want to remove fears from our hearts. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Hide it. Hide it. Keep it. Treasure it. Make it precious. And make it a sword. And defeat the enemy. Number one. Assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:11 and 12. Let's open our scripture to that verse. It says there, what? "And this is the testimony, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this life He has given to His Son." This life is in His Son. "He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life." Do you ever get doubts whether you have eternal life? Do you ever have doubts like that? Do I have eternal life?
clutch on the Word of God. He who has the Son has life. Do you have the Son? You sure? Do you have the Son? Are you in a personal, intimate discipleship relationship with the Son? Then you have life. And you can hold on to that Word no matter what your feelings say. Number two. Assurance of answered prayer. There are times when we feel that God is not answering our prayer. And then we begin to doubt. Lord, nakikinig ka ba? Let's open our scripture to John chapter 16, verse 24. Okay, what does it say? Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask! Ask! That you may receive. Ask that you may receive, so that your joy may be full. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Oh, I love it. The end of all prayers is that your joy may be full. Maybe the Lord knows that if you get married, you will not have joy to the fullness. Remember that. The truth of that passage is that He wants you to have joy to perfection, to completion. And it's a powerful verse. In the midst of the violent storms around you that's intimidating, clutch on to the Word of God. Ito yung katotohanan. I will not veer to the left. Ito yung truth. Maski anong sinasabi ng mga tao, maski anong sinasabi ng situation, maski anong sinasabi ng circumstances, maski anong sinasabi ng feelings ko. The truth is, Jesus is telling me that I will ask in my name. What does it mean to ask in my name? Do you know? To ask in the name of Jesus. Kasi lagi natin ginagawa yan, di ba? At the end of our prayers, lagi natin sinasabi, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Ababo, hindi ko alam. Lagi natin ginagawa. What you're actually saying, this is a preview to another talk that we're going to have, is what we're actually saying is that we're asking Jesus to pray the prayer Himself to the Father. That's amazing. That's amazing. We're asking Jesus. You know, when we say we pray this in Jesus' name, it is as though Jesus was the one speaking forth the prayer before the Father. And we're not coming to the Father in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. We're going to take all these verses every week, one by one, and we're going to take it more extensively the way I'm doing it now. I'm just giving you an overview. But each of these assurance passages, we will take every Monday as we go along. Sometimes one verse, sometimes two verses, sometimes more. Okay? Third, assurance of victory. Have you ever felt defeated by sin? And doesn't it sometimes happen na sa daming beses na nahulog ka, yung feeling mo, wala na akong pag-asa. Sa tingin ko, maski hanggang 99 years old, I'll still fall in this sin. Wala na talaga. I'll always keep on falling in this sin. Whether it be selfishness or pride or lust or greed or gossip or whatever. Parang, I always get defeated and defeated and defeated. Kaya ko ba to? Ang hirap eh. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 say? What does that passage say? There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also a way to escape. He will give you, provide you a way to escape in the midst of that temptation, that you may be able to bear it. Look at the first part of that verse. It says, He will not allow you to be tempted above your strength to resist. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That's the truth. No matter what your feeling says, No matter what the circumstance say, ito yung katotohanan, this is God's word, bank on it, clutch on it tenaciously, and let the Lord God stand on this lighthouse, stand on this island, stand on this rock, and let all the battleships veer to the left. Number four. Assurance of forgiveness. How many of you have committed sin, the same sin, for about already 10 times in your life? Raise your hand. Mga 10 times yun ang ginawa, isang kasalanan, maski ano? Everyone? Everyone? Talaga? 20 times of the same sin. 20 times. Talaga? Sabi ano? Talagang kailangan natin ng Bible study na to. Pati ako. I'm raising my hand. Dalawa pa. You know? Kasi pag ganun na yung kaso, ganun yung situation, ano yung doubt na pumapasok sa isipan? Ano yung feelings? Will God still forgive me? Parang hindi na. Sobra na. Parang si Lord, parang sumisigaw na siya ng Revolution 86. Sobra na. Tama na. You know? Ganun na si Lord. Parang ganun yung feeling natin eh. Pero ano yung katotohanan? Ano yung truth? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Katotohanan talaga, no? Sarap, no? Parang ang sarap kunin at ilagay sa puso mo na maski anong doubts niyan, you just say, no, I'm not gonna entertain that doubt. Bakit? Kasi sinabi niya dito, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, that if I confess my sins, God is faithful to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen? Number 5, assurance of guidance. Will God really guide me? I'm looking for a job now. Talagang gaguide ba niya ako? Parang late ng problema ko. Parang he's so busy doing other things. Will God really guide me? I'm looking for a school for my child. Talagang gaguide ba niya ako dito? Ano kaya? I'm thinking of having another child in the family. Will the Lord talk to me and tell me na okay ba sa kanya to? Hindi. You know, these are decisions. And will the Lord guide us and lead us? Sometimes we doubt. And if we doubt, get the word of the Lord from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. What does the word of God say? Trust in the Lord and lean not in thy own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What will He do? What will He do? He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. That's a wonderful verse to hold on to hide it in your heart, that you may not entertain the sins and the temptations of sin. We're going to take those verses in a more lengthy and a more extensive way in the next Mondays. Are you excited? Is the Word of God rich? We don't know what we are missing. We do not know how rich the Word of God is. Catholics, the Protestants were not the ones who put this together. It was your church who did it. But our beloved Protestants were the ones who took it and really studied it very well. But it's time now to get it back and to receive it and to apply it in our life. Live it out. This is truth for your life. In the next 10 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to find out for more truths. We're going to look for God's word and we're going to look for more truth so that when the battleships come, they cannot intimidate us because we have it hidden
in our hearts. Amen?
I'd like us to be brought into the presence of God. This is not just a closing prayer, yung Our Father, uwi na tayo. Hindi ganun. We want to respond to the Word of God. God has spoken to us. God has spoken to us. So we need to respond to God and speak to Him. Speak back Scripture to Him. Our prayers sometimes are very wishy-washy kasi walang salita ng Diyos eh. And what we need to do is when we pray, you pray back Scripture to God. And you know, we fill our lives with that Word. So let's come before the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we want to pray our prayers in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that that means that Jesus will be praying this prayer for us in front of you. And so we want to pray this prayer in Jesus' name. We want to pray this prayer in the mighty, sweet, powerful name, the name higher than every other name, upon whom every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray a prayer that you would fill our hearts with the Word of God, and that our hearts may hide Scripture, truth, Word, light, power. Heavenly Father, our hearts are hungry, thirsty for your Word. Now we realize why our lives are lacking so much in power. Now we realize why when temptations come, we cannot say to the devil, "It is written," because we do not know what is written as much as you want us to know. Heavenly Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name, that you fill our hearts with the Word of God, and that your Word may be the lighthouse for us, on which we stand, so that the battleships around us may not intimidate us anymore. Instead of us veering to the left, they, the temptations and the worries and the anxieties and our feelings and even the circumstances around us, will move to the left. Heavenly Father, we are like that little child sitting down in the corner of that room, and you come in that room, and with a voice that carries through the entire universe, you shout out the truth that you love us and that we are special before your sight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, and you are a God who sits down with us, and you chat with us, and you speak your Word to us. And in the intimacy of that relationship, in the intimacy of that conversation, we gain strength, self-worth, esteem. Suddenly we realize we are special in your eyes. We are valuable to you. We are precious in your heart. Heavenly Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. We pray for this Bible study. Bless it and feed us every time we open the Bible. In the mighty name of Jesus, this prayer is done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's greet our mother in the way the angel greeted her 2,000 years ago. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. If you have a favorite saint, I want you to pray a prayer to that saint. Today is my birthday and it's the feast of Saint Benedict. I want to pray to him that he prays for us, that he, being a saint who loved Scripture, he was a monk and he spent so much time in the Word of God. I pray that all of us may also be like him in his love for the Word of God.
Saints of God, pray for us. Angels of God, protect us in our way home. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, God.
This is the end of the talk. We hope you've enjoyed it. Next is a brief discussion on how to memorize scripture.
A. Scripture memory instructions. Your memory is good. You know, people react and say, Bob, mahina ako dyan eh, memory. Yung talagang chemistry ko, bumagsak ako eh. Yung algebra, yung x, y times w, yung ganun yung hindi ko maintindihan yan. Sisters and brothers, your memory is good. Do you think you have a poor memory? Wait a minute. What's your address and phone number? How about all that information you know by heart about your job? How about all the people you call by name? Or the facts and figures you can recite about your favorite sport or hobby? 3-second violation. 5-foot. Yung ganon. Yung mga... You see, your memory is really pretty good after all. Anything is easy to memorize when you are really interested in it or you use it often. Attitude makes the difference. A good memory is not something you either have or don't have. It is a skill, and like other skills, it can be improved. Attitude is what makes the difference. Adopt an attitude of confidence in scripture memory and you will develop skill in memorizing. Count on God's word. Count on God's help. Here's some additional encouragement. You can count on God to help you memorize scripture. Amen? For He wants His word to be in your hearts, in the hearts of His children. These commandments that I give to you today shall be upon your hearts. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Why topics? You will learn the verses with a topic as a heading. Two important reasons for knowing the topics of the verses you memorize. The topics help you understand the verses and make them easier to memorize and review. Two, the topics give you mental hooks with which to draw a particular verse from memory when you need it. They help you call the right verse to mind when witnessing, counseling, doing Bible study, or preparing a talk. Principles for memorizing scripture. As you start to memorize the verse, study the scripture memory instructions each week. This material is extremely helpful should be reviewed each week. Read the context of the verse in your Bible. This will help you understand the setting of the verse. Get a clear understanding of what each verse actually means. You may want to read the verse in one or two translations or paraphrases to get a better grasp of the meaning. Read the verse through several times thoughtfully, aloud, or in a whisper. This will help you grasp the verse as a whole. Each time you read it, say the topic, reference, verse, and reference. Again, for example, we're going to, you know, you might be shocked by all this. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to give you only 5 verses to memorize for the next 10 weeks. Am I lenient or am I lenient? Just 5 verses for the next 10 weeks. Am I soft or am I soft? Is that hard or is that easy? Okay, just 5 short verses for the next 10 weeks. And I'm going to give it to you complete with a topic, complete with a verse. So this is how you're going to memorize it. This is a suggestion. It helped me a lot. I'm going to teach you how I memorize scripture and how I hid it in my heart. Each time you read it, say the topic, assurance of salvation. Say the reference, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Say the verse, the text, and this is the record God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, he who has not the Son has life. And then say the reference again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. So that's a way of memorizing scripture. You say the reference in the beginning, and you say the reference at the end of the text. It helps you memorize scripture. Okay? Number 5, discuss the verse with God in prayer and continue to seek His help for being successful in scripture memory. While memorizing the verse, number 6 is work on the verse aloud as often as possible. While you're driving, while you're riding the jeep, while you're in the comfort room doing something, work on the verse aloud as often as possible. It's not desecrating God's Word. Number 7, learn the topic, reference, and first phrase as a unit. Begin by saying, assurance of salvation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the record. So use it as one unit, from the topic to the reference to the first phrase of the text. Number 8, after learning the topic, reference, and first phrase, continue to memorize by adding an additional phrase after you feel comfortable in quoting correctly what you have already learned. Assurance of salvation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. Assurance of salvation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. When you're comfortable with that, get another line. And this life He has given to His Son. Assurance of salvation, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. God is, you know, go on. You got it? Number 9. Choose a time. This is very important. Choose a time when your mind is free from outside distractions. Just before retiring at night or when you first get up in the morning are excellent times for memorizing. Keep in mind whether you are a night or a morning person. If you're a night person, memorize in the night. If you're a morning person, memorize in the morning. 10. As you memorize and review the verse, think about how it applies to your own life and your daily circumstance. 11. Always include the topic and reference as part of the verse. 12. One excellent habit to form is to use spare moments during the day, such as while waiting, walking, driving, to review or to meditate the verses. After you can say the topic, reference, verse, and reference correctly, 13. It is helpful to write the verse out. This deepens the impression in your mind. 14. Review the verse immediately and frequently in the first few days after learning the verse. This is crucial for getting the verse firmly fixed in your mind. 15. Review, review, review. Repetition is the best method to deepen your impression of verses and to maintain an ability to quote them accurately. Okay?